Welcome to Be All You Are, a Midlife Awakening podcast. I'm your host, Kaina Paranjape. I'm a former corporate executive, two-time entrepreneur, and mama. I've worked with and partnered with major brands and even helped a celebrity launch an award-winning business. But I also believe that who we are is not just reflected on our LinkedIn profile. When I was 30, my husband became suddenly critically ill. And after 8 years of living with a difficult illness, he passed away. This experience taught me that we need to claim our dreams now, embrace all we are, and create an amazing life along the way. Today, I help women like you navigate through change and transition to their next level of freedom and fulfillment, whatever that looks like for you. This podcast is all about stepping into all you are. It's about reconnecting to your inner voice so you can hear the whispers of your deepest dreams and cultivate the courage and a plan to create the life that is waiting for you. Now head out on that solo walk or settle into a cozy spot with a favorite beverage and join me. Well, hello, beautiful friends. Welcome back to another episode of Be All You Are. If we haven't met before, my name is Kaina. I am your host, and I am so glad that you're here. And if you are a regular listener, I am smiling at you and sending you a big hug. Thank you for tuning into this podcast and for sending me your feedback and for sharing reviews and for sharing it with your friends. It means the absolute world to me. And you are the reason why I am showing up and having these conversations and constantly thinking about how to bring ideas, insights, inspiration to you. Before we dive into today's episode, which is with an amazing guest, I want to share with you a new 3-day masterclass that I have coming up in a few weeks called Take Up Space. And this is a free 3-day masterclass on owning your voice, trusting yourself, and reclaiming your authentic power. And in this masterclass, what I really want to bring to you is three things. The first is reclaiming your power. And when I say reclaim, it's because it is not looking for your power externally. It's not getting that validation from an external source. It's about awakening to the truth of who you really are. It's reclaiming what you already have. It's remembering. The other thing that we're going to be focusing on is embodying your power. So once you've reclaimed it, how do we learn to lead ourselves with clarity, confidence, and courage? So that's what we're going to be doing on day two. And then on day three, it's about sustaining your power. So discovering what it takes to continue to be on a journey to deepen our trust in our feminine strength and wisdom. And taking up space is not about being showy or bravado or grandiosity. Taking up space just means to fully own who you are without shrinking, apologizing, or seeking permission. And also just to fully honor that you are here to serve, to provide your unique wisdom to the world, and to own that. It's about standing in your truth with confidence, trusting that your presence is not just valid, but vital, and that the world needs only what you can bring. So please join me for this beautiful 3-day masterclass. It is happening on Tuesday, April 8th through April 10th. So Tuesday through Thursday at noon Eastern, and you can go to allyouare.ca/take-up-space. And you can find the link to that also in the show notes. So you can join me in just a few weeks for this beautiful 3-day masterclass together. And today I'm super excited to introduce you to my guest. My guest is Jack White. She is the founder of Honeybees Group. And Jack and I met through a dear common friend who just knew that we would jive. And of course we did. And Jack and I have worked together already quite a bit. She's come to speak to some of my groups. I've gone to New York to go to an event with her. And I really believe so strongly in Jack's mission. And in a way, her mission encompasses my mission. And so we're very aligned. And let me explain why. So Jack brings over 20 years of sales and business development expertise. She empowers women to excel in sales and confidently grow their businesses. Jack is a seasoned executive and strategic advisor. She's built a career teaching women how to turn their natural strengths into powerful sales skills, guiding them through pivotal moments that drive revenue growth and client acquisition. And Jack's hands-on, practical approach helps women master sales frameworks that feel authentic and effective. Jack has worked with major brands like LearnVest, Daily Candy, The New York Times, and Armani Exchange, and has numerous startup and consulting roles. So Jack really offers that unique blend, similar to me actually, of corporate insight and entrepreneurial agility. Jack is a recognized thought leader and has shared her insights at Shop Talk, Advertising Week, the New York Travel Festival, and many other events. And her expertise has been featured in Fox Business News, Inc., Forbes, Huffington Post, and Entrepreneur. Jack is passionate about equipping women with the tools, strategies, and confidence to thrive in business. And what I love about what Jack does is this is not just a skill that is meant for entrepreneurs. As women, we all need to learn how to sell. It is a skill that compounds over time and that is always valuable. If we learn how to sell in a way that feels authentic to us, we are literally unstoppable. And so whether you are in the corporate world or you're an entrepreneur, you are going to want to tune in to this super valuable episode with Jack White. Let's dive in. Welcome, Jack, to the podcast. I'm so happy you're here.
I'm so happy to be here. You are such a light in this world, and I want to be a part of whatever you're doing. So thank you for having me on.
Thank you, Jack. That's so kind and generous of you. And I feel the same way about you. I feel like, you know, we have a dear common friend who connected us. And I feel like since then, it's just been like, you know, let's do this and let's do this. It's so great.
It's fun. I love when that happens because she knows us both pretty well. And she's said, okay, you're going to meet Kenya and you're going to just love each other. And I know you're going to be friends. And I was like, okay. And she was totally right.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so good. Okay, so let's dive in. Jack, I want to hear more about your journey up until this point. Because we're going to dive into what you do now. But I would love to hear what led you here.
Okay. So how do you like start from the beginning? Okay. It's interesting because I don't feel like I had a very linear path. And it's not until recently looking back on my career that it seems to make some sort of sense and that I've been kind of like following this theme throughout my career. Essentially, I started out in fashion. And I went to FIT in New York City. I live in New York City now. That's what brought me to New York from Florida. I moved here when I was 18 and really thought I was going to be in fashion. My first job out of college was helping to launch an e-commerce website. This is like back in the early 2000s for a designer. Now the internet obviously existed, but it wasn't what it is now.
Yes.
And while I realized quickly that fashion was not the industry for me, what I loved was this digital world that was kind of this new frontier. And so I moved from e-commerce into digital publishing and worked on the business side at really fantastic brands like the New York Times and Reed Elsevier and helped sort of bridge the gap between sales and edit and work with our advertising partners to create custom programs. And I never considered myself a salesperson because that always felt like really icky and gross and like not something that I wanted to do. But I loved putting ideas and programs and like getting creative around solutions for our brand partners and things that we could do within our business. And so I did that for a few years and worked at these big companies. And it's like the best training ground that you can get in terms of like operations and process and meeting really great people and getting to be in rooms that you, you know, maybe shouldn't even have a business being in, but you get to be exposed to a lot of things. And then one of my mentors moved from the New York Times to a VC-backed startup called Daily Candy, which was the first email newsletter of its time.
I know it. I think most people who are listening to this know it.
Loved Daily Candy. And before she took the job, she was sort of like, hey, there's this company I'm thinking of going to, and maybe you've heard of it. It's called Daily Candy. And I said, I will sweep the floor at Daily Candy. When you get there, you have to hire me and I'll do anything. Mm-hmm. And the role that she had available was a sales position. Mm-hmm. And I had fought against being like a quote unquote salesperson for my whole career up to that point. But I loved Daily Candy and I wanted to do anything that I could to be there. And so I took this leap and did this thing that I swore I didn't want to do at this place, that I would do anything to be there. And then it was my first sort of step into startup world. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. And I loved the entrepreneurial spirit. I loved that we were sort of all hands on deck, really building, kind of figuring things out on the fly. And then for 15 years, I worked for different startups in New York City, different VC-backed startups. I actually ran a VC-backed startup and raised money and, you know, built a team and did all of that. I call myself a recovering CEO of a VC-backed business. And in about 2017, stepped away from that business. And I had always used consulting as kind of like my in-between startup gig. And I was consulting when I found out that I was pregnant with our son. And it took us a long time to get pregnant with him. And so I realized that I wanted to sort of do something a little different with my career. And so up to that point, when I thought about how I made decisions of like where I worked and what I did, there were sort of like 2 to 3 criteria that I looked at. The first one was I'm very curious by nature. So I really wanted to learn as much as I could wherever I was going. I was never the kind of, I like doing new things and learning new things. So everywhere I went, I'm like, okay, what else am I going to learn? What is this opportunity going to provide for me? And the second thing is I really value the people I work for. Mm-hmm. I want to work for people who, or with people that I can learn from, that are supportive, and that like I'm going to just be able to absorb like what their genius is, right? And so those were sort of the criteria that I took, right? So it was like I knew my manager from the New York Times was someone I really loved and learned from and trusted. So even though she was putting me in a role that I didn't really want, I knew it was going to be challenging at a place that I wanted. And so those were sort of the themes. And then when we got pregnant, I was like, okay, now I'm going to sort of take a little pause, be a mom for a little while, and then just consult, because all of my friends were starting companies and doing things. And so I consulted for a little bit. And when I started looking for my next full-time role, the pandemic hit. Yeah. And there were no full-time roles available for what I was doing and at the level that I was at. But my consulting business took off, like most people at that time.
Yes.
Right? And I ended up loving consulting. I worked with 3 to 4 clients at a time. I really fell in love with being able to like narrow in on my area of expertise and work across brands. And so I realized that perhaps my next full-time role was actually building my own company and building my own consulting firm. And so I officially launched Honeybees Group. And for the first, I would say 5 years, I worked with other early stage VC-backed companies on building their BD partnerships and sales teams within their organizations. About 2 years ago, I started pivoting my business because a couple things were happening in the industry that were, quite frankly, really making me very angry. Number one is so many women had left the workforce during the pandemic, whether by choice or not by choice. Right now, 47% of all new businesses are started by women. That number was 28% before the pandemic.
Wow, yeah.
And so there were all so many of my friends that were about my age, about my, you know, skill level, like senior management, were starting their own companies, whether they wanted to or they were forced to. And they were excellent at what they did, but they didn't feel comfortable selling their services and their products. And so there was this huge gap in terms of what they were delivering and how much they were able to monetize it. And then the second thing is the market changed. So it's a lot harder for people to get hired as consultants and fractionals now. Companies are very uncertain about market conditions. And so it's just more difficult. You know, the marketplace has changed in terms of consultants getting hired. Yes. And then the third thing that I saw that was happening is there was this rise of sales training and sales gurus around teaching people how to, quote unquote, make seven figures in your sleep, or yeah, you're going to learn how to sell without ever getting on a sales call. And I'm just like the antithesis of that. And so I saw these three things happening and said, okay, I'm going to take everything that I've done in sales development and partnerships and business development and sales over the last 20 years and tailor it to all of my friends who are consultants and building their own small agencies and building their own businesses and help them sell their services and make money. Because I realize that my ability to impact this world and my ability to impact women and their money, which ends up being like a through line throughout my career, is best served by helping women who are great at what they do and need to make money and helping them build their businesses. So that's what I do now.
Oh my gosh, Jack, it's so incredible. And I love, you know, that you've taken all these decades of lived experience and wisdom. I don't know, I'm curious, did you have it come to you as a download? Was it sort of like, this is what I need to do? Because I know, since I know you, I know how passionate you are about this. Did it kind of come to you suddenly? Or was it just like little trickles in and where you were like, huh, that something's not right here. Something, you know, I know I can help here. How did it all kind of come to the surface for you?
It's interesting because it came, there are different pieces. And this was where it like all kind of came together in one point. So I grew up with a single mom who had five kids before she was 30. She dropped out of college to marry my dad. And I knew from a very young age that money was really important because we were in an okay money situation and then we weren't in an okay money situation. And I saw my mom have to go back to school, learn a skill, get a job, all while navigating raising a family. And so I knew money was important from a really young age. So I was always fascinated with like being able to take care of myself financially and understanding that like not having to worry about money was a really good thing that I wanted in my own life. And then one of the companies that I worked at was LearnVest, which was an early stage American financial advocacy and advisory platform for women founded by Alexa Von Tobel. And it was there that I like kind of took this idea of like wanting to learn about money and really understood how important it was for women to understand yeah. money and for women to have financial empowerment. And it's not to say, I mean, my husband is like the most supportive partner and dad yeah. and, you know, everything. So this isn't like, we have to do it because we don't have supportive partners who are like, you know, teammates. This is about having our information to like carry our own and just be empowered to like as a family or as an individual, whatever your situation is, you know, have the information to make good decisions. And it was at that moment that I was like, it's so important for women to understand money because for a varied amount of reasons, like we're at a disadvantage. We make less, we live longer, we're often the ones that take time off of work to raise a family, so we're saving less for our retirement. We don't actively invest the same way men do, right? So it was all of that. So that was always in my head from a very like personal perspective. But then when I saw my friends who were leaving corporate jobs, so they no longer had a 401k, they no longer had a paycheck that they could depend on. They were now like in charge of making their own money to pay their own bills. I was like, man, now I'm really seeing why this is important. And I was helping them on the side, and I kept complaining to my husband, and he like is so amazing in ways that he doesn't ever understand, where he's like, I am so sick of hearing you talk about this. Can you just go do it? Whatever, like, stop. I don't want to hear about it anymore. Like, clearly this is something that you are really passionate about and you are capable of solving. Just go do it.
Yes.
And it was, as soon as he said that, I was like, yeah, I am going to go do it. You're right. I'm going to go do this. And that's when I started pivoting, as, you know, he's sort of like, okay, enough.
For you. He was like, listen, this is what I'm hearing. Yeah. And he's like reflecting back to you, right?
Yeah. And he's like, and he's the kind of like, don't just talk about it, go do it.
Yes.
And so for him to be like, yeah, I get it. This is frustrating, but like, be the solution. Don't just complain. And I was like, oh yeah, you're totally right. This is what I'm going to do. And, you know, the past 18 months, I've never been on fire the way I'm on fire about this. I never thought I would build a business for scale again. I never thought I was going to, I just expected to be a solopreneur. And now I'm like, oh my gosh, what we're doing can change the projection of women's lives, their livelihoods,
yes,
which trickles down to their families, their children. And it's really just about like teaching them how to sell within their business, which is actually really simple to do when you structure it in the right way.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So there's so many things I love about what you just shared. And I want to call out something, because I think a lot of the women who listen to this podcast, they, you know, may be establishing their career and kind of know where they're going. They may be considering pivoting. They may feel a calling, but feel a little bit afraid of what that means and the transition. And I just love your story because of how holistic it is, right? Like it includes the real experience, like what I say is on your LinkedIn profile, like all the bullet points on your LinkedIn profile. It includes your growing up journey, like your childhood journey, your experience with your mom and what that was like. It includes like listening in to the conversations around you and paying attention to your response to those conversations, right? The fact that you're passionate about it. I think this is so important for anyone listening, that if you're trying to find a new path or you want to start to explore what it could look like, it's taking it all of these inputs, right? Like it's not just looking at, well, you know, I've done this in my past, so this is the, you know, like consulting is the most obvious next thing. Fractional work is the next obvious thing. There may be something else for you, you know, something that does light you up the way you have been lit up. You know? Yeah.
And it's not so different. What I realize is what I'm doing now is not so different than what I was doing before, because I'm still like 80% of it is the same, right? How do you sell? How do you create a system within your business that helps you generate revenue? What does that look like? What's the positioning? What's the pricing? 80% of it is the same. What I've had to do is retool it for a new audience that I and mission driven to help and to support.
Yeah.
And so when people think about that, it's this mixture between, you know, you don't always need to start over from scratch in order to find that thing that lights you on fire or, you know, that like resonates with you, because a lot of times you can do that, certainly. And I have friends who have totally changed careers and gone back to school, you know, in their early 40s to pivot. And I mean, the reality is we have a whole other, I'm 45. I have a whole other career in front of me. I've been working for 20 years. I will continue to work for the next 20 years. So if you're also 45 and you feel like you want to pivot and do something else,
now is the time.
Now is the time. You have a whole other career in front of you.
Yes.
If there are parts of what you do that you love, explore how you can massage that and manipulate it to turn it into something else where you leverage what you've done, you build on that, or you reposition it to be something else.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Jack, I have two questions that are coming up for me as you're sharing. The first is, When, now that you work with women to help them understand what it means to sell with confidence and understand that you can bring systems in to help you with that, to support you with that, what are some of the biggest sort of, you know, like resistance or hurdles that you have to help women get past when they think about selling for their business? Because it's like you said, you know, they can, there's so many women who are excellent at what they do. They've honed their craft. They can, like, you get them in the room, you get them working on the problem, and they're the right person to do it. But if they can't sell what they do, right, that's, then where do you go from there? That's a dead end, right?
So
when you're actually connecting with women on this, where do you think the biggest resistance comes from?
Great question. I love this question. I actually do a whole 90-minute workshop on sales mindset shifts because I think it's so important. And I'll just talk about three really quickly. And I'm not a, I just want to caveat this, that I am not a huge woo-woo person. I live very much in the tangible. I goal set, I manifest, I do all of those things, but I'm a tactical, action-driven person. So when I just take that into consideration as I talk about this. So three things quickly. Number one, I think we all can recall many situations when we have felt gross being sold to or selling.
Mm-hmm.
And that sticks with you.
Mm-hmm.
I have early childhood memories of my parents hanging up the phone during dinner when somebody is calling and trying to sell something, right? Yeah. So the new version of that is like text message spams or like popping up in your DM, right? Like, we know when we're trying to be sold to and it feels gross, and none of us want to be that person that makes somebody else feel gross. So I think we just are super cautious of like doing anything that feels salesy because that's the experience we have.
Mm-hmm.
We don't equate the sales experiences or interactions that feel good as actually being sold to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's a key distinction there. The second one is that I think we confuse marketing and sales. So a lot of times we think we're selling and what we're doing is marketing.
Yes.
And I think with the rise of social media,
mm-hmm.
that's become particularly like a foggy area. Yeah. So I have a lot of friends, and this is a part of why I started the sales circle, is I have a lot of friends who say, oh, I took this sales course or I hired this person to teach me how to sell. And I'm like, great, what did you do? And they're like, oh, we learned how to make Instagram reels. And we learned how to, you know, do this, this, and that. Not anything against Instagram reels.
No.
But that's not like selling. It yes. could be, maybe.
Yeah.
And so we've conflated marketing and sales, and they're two different things, both important,
mm-hmm.
but serve different purposes and have different tactics. Okay. Marketing is very sexy. We're very comfortable marketing.
Yes, totally.
Selling, totally comfortable marketing. Selling is what makes us money.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to do both.
Yes.
So that's number two. So number one is we don't want to, you know, make people feel gross. Number two is we're confused about the difference between marketing and sales. And number three is we don't like talking about money.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another one that comes down from, you know, when we're very little,
mm-hmm.
we don't want to be, you know, I remember saying, don't talk about money. That's rude. That's
yes.
not polite. And, or, you know, you don't want to be bossy, right? We're given all of these messages mm-hmm. that we hold on to. And so I'm not one that says we need to like deprogram ourselves necessarily. I think we need to, you know, move past the uncomfortable things that we have been like taught are true and do new things that are uncomfortable. I talk a lot about selling with confidence and ease.
Mm.
You don't feel confident or comfortable in the beginning when you're doing it.
Yeah.
But that's like anything. Selling is a skill. Human beings are born to learn skills. We do it all the time. We're learning new skills from the moment we come out of the womb.
Yes.
So anyone can learn how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about doing the right actions, having the right repetition, letting yourself learn with grace and doing the work. And so, yeah. I mean, if I were to add a fourth one, I would say, you know, selling feels uncomfortable and we don't like doing things that are uncomfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah. you know what I realized? Because I am in a world with a lot of entrepreneurs. Some of them are budding entrepreneurs, and they're exactly how you describe them, right? Like they are excellent at what they do, have mm-hmm. all the experience. But it is amazing to me how avoidant actually people are of selling. Like they will do everything else on their list, but yes. not the thing that will actually bring money.
Make them money.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's because it's uncomfortable. And you're like, and that's the thing when you own your own business is it's the blessing and the curse of it is because you get to set your own priorities. You don't have a manager telling you, hey, you need to focus on this today.
Yeah.
You get to decide what the most important thing is that you're doing. And if you don't like doing something, it's really easy for anything else to become more important than doing the thing that doesn't feel comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's so important. Like even just that alone, this idea that selling is a skill that we can all learn. And so if you're listening to this and you are feeling what we're saying, you need to learn from Jack how yeah. to sell because you can learn it. Everyone
yeah.
can learn it. Jack, when you were talking about your corporate experience early on, there's something that you said that really stood out to me. And I think it's an important piece of this puzzle. And it was when you said that you were, I'm not sure if I'll get your words exactly, but you basically said something like you were coming up with creative solutions for the partners that you worked with, mm-hmm. right? And I think that that also is such an important piece of it, right? Because if you aren't coming up with the solution that the, like that, you know, whoever you're selling to, if it doesn't fit for them, then also selling it becomes hard. And I think I'm speaking from my own experience because, you know, as a second time entrepreneur on this new path that I've been on, there have been times where I had something to offer and I thought it was what was needed. And, you know, I could sell it in a small way, but it wasn't like, I don't know that it was the right solution. And then now that I have found a solution that resonates, the ease part is so much, it's kicked in, right? Like the ease is kicked in because I feel more confident about the solution. I can speak to it more clearly. So can you talk, I mean, you know, I want to like dive into some other things, but when this came up, I was like, you know, I want Jack's opinion on this because yeah. I think that piece of like, how you come up with that solution that you're actually selling so that you can sell with ease, you know?
Yeah. I think you bring up such a great point and a lot of people fall into that same sort of negative cycle of they think they have a great idea for something and they spend a lot of time and energy building it, creating a website and marketing information and a logo and all of these things. And then they go to sell it and they find out that actually nobody wants it. Mm-hmm. And I talk a lot about sell before you build for this exact reason. I did a whole podcast episode on this exact thing where especially new consultants coming out of corporate or starting their company for the first time feel like they need to have a big brand and feel like they need to have all of these things because that's what they were used to at a company. And I always say that when you are first starting out, people are buying you.
Yeah.
And when people come to Honeybee's Group, they're buying me. Yes, it's Honeybee's Group and, you know, I work with other people and all of the things, but you don't need any of that. Mm-hmm. I think what you should be doing is talking to as many people as possible, figuring out what the need is. Like that market research in the beginning is really important to figure out what it is someone needs. It's one of the reasons why I think women can be great sellers. Going back to the creative solutions part is we are problem solvers by nature.
Yes.
We are collaborators by nature. And so by when you think about selling or packaging or, you know, creating your program, just talking to people and coming from a place of wanting to help and being creative and listening to what they need and what they're solving for. Mm-hmm. And then just saying, oh, thank you so much. And going back and creating the solution for that, that is like within your wheelhouse, is the best way to start building your business as a consultant, a fractional, you know, whatever you're doing.
Yes.
I try to avoid having set programs right out of the gate when people are building their business at the beginning.
Yes.
And I tend to encourage people to work with a few clients on a retainer basis and do different kinds of projects because number one, you'll find out what people need. And number two, you'll find out the kind of work you actually like doing.
Yeah.
That's
a piece of it. Yeah. Otherwise you get stuck doing something you really don't want to be doing.
You don't want to do.
You're working for yourself, but you feel enslaved the same way, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I love that. And I think you're right. When you find something that resonates with you, resonates with your customers, the sales process becomes a lot flowier. That's not a real word, but.
No, I love it. We're all about making up words. Why not? It's so good. Okay. So I wanted to shift a little bit, Jack, to talk about you and your journey. And one of the things that I talk about a lot on this podcast, myself and with all my guests, is this idea of how important it is, especially at this stage of life where you've sort of done checking all the boxes and you feel like you did all the things you were supposed to do, right? And now you want to create a life that's all your own, like follow your own unique path. And being able to tune out all the external noise because there's so much of it and tune into your own voice, right? Like, what is it that you need? What is it that you want? What kind of life do you want to live? What kind of impact do you want to make? It's so important, right? And, and when we're not used to doing that, it's yet another thing that feels uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm curious for you, what has that journey been like? And you know, do you have a way that you, or has it just come naturally to you, or do you have a way that you tune into your intuition?
It's interesting. And you can take that in so many different ways. I think when I was, so I'm in my mid 40s, I would say when I was in my mid 20s, mid 40s felt really old. And I was like, oh my gosh, by my mid 40s, I'm going to be like, ready to hang it up. I'm going to like have achieved all of the things. I'm going to, you know, be like over the hill, right? I don't know when over the hill is, but felt like 45 was about it at 25. Now that I'm in my mid 40s, I look back and I'm so grateful for all the fun and the hard work and the everything that I did, but I feel like I'm also just getting started. 45 feels so young. And there's something really magical about this time for me. And I know not all women feel this way. Some people really struggle with a number. And, you know, I think especially if you have other transitions going on in your life with work and relationship or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'm walking into this season of life. I think that the 30s was a lot of that for me, struggling with infertility and child loss and, you know, a lot of tough things that, you know, sort of rocked my core in my 30s.
Yeah.
Coming into my mid 40s, I feel like all of those things that I struggled with have become my superpower. Mm. They have become my strength. They have become my point of view where I'm so grateful for the things that I have and the things that I know and the things that I will continue to build. And in some ways, I really do feel like I'm just getting started. I feel like I know enough and I don't care enough about what people think about me.
It's a very powerful combination, what you just said.
To like do what I want to do the way I want to do it.
Yes.
And there's something very freeing about that. I was never someone until recently that liked visibility. I didn't create content. I didn't put myself out there, even though I was very comfortable presenting. You know, it was like I had a great career. I didn't want to be visible. Mm-hmm. And there are some parts of my life that are still incredibly private, but I realize that now creating visibility helps other people more than it helps me.
Yeah. Wow.
And by not putting what I have out there to share, I'm doing a disservice. I'm actually being selfish and not helping people reach their potential. And so I'm loving this stage, and I'll probably be in another stage, you know, 20 years from now, but I'm feeling more confident and more powerful than I think I ever have in my life. There's something about being young and not having fear. It, like motherhood and loss, it kind of creates a sense of fear, but I actually like I don't know, feel more powerful and empowered than ever before.
That's incredible, Jack. And I think that that is like the opportunity or the invitation we have at this stage of life is like at this point, most of us have gone through some difficult times, right? And it's all relative, but people, you know, deep difficulties, other people less, maybe less so, but either way, we've all gone through stuff.
I think it's not, and this is something is like, it's not a contest to see who had the worst experience, right? It's like, it's all your own perspective.
That's
and
right.
Everyone has their own worst thing.
Yes.
And it doesn't have to be more worse or less worse than somebody else's, but it forms your perspective and it makes you who you are. And if you can somehow work through it and find a way to, I don't want to minimize struggle or pain or grief for anyone, but if you and when you can find a way to turn that into power and action, and it doesn't mean that, like, you know, the pain and the grief doesn't still come in waves and you let yourself feel it. But if you that can become your armor and you can sort of say like, oh, this isn't the worst thing that can happen.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I had this business setback. That's not so bad.
It's so true. It does help you put it into perspective. Yeah. But I think the biggest thing is that it is an invitation to see who you've become through that.
Yes,
experience,
absolutely.
Right? And then it's, as you said, it's like, how am I now able to serve and contribute in a way that I wouldn't had I not been through that, right?
Yeah.
And nobody wishes to go through difficult things, but the truth is that we all do. And so when you can like have this greater compassion for your own experience, then that allows you to, as you said, be more of a power source for others, right?
Yeah. And it's the human experience. I mean, this is a part of life, is you don't know what you appreciate if you haven't felt loss. And so this is, you know, this is the human experience, is all of this. And I think it takes a certain amount of lived experience to appreciate that. And I guess maybe that's the point, is like, we're coming into this era of having lived, and we appreciate where we're at and look forward to where we're going.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm curious, can you remember a time where you made a decision solely on your intuition? So, you know, like, we tend to kind of do like the pros and cons lists and the Google research, but there's times where we're just like, I know the answer and I don't actually care about anything else. Like, I know I need to do this, or I know I need to say no, or whatever. Can you think of a time like that?
Oh my gosh. I'm trying to, I think it's really important for me to stay grounded because I can get very heady and busy and doing a bunch of things at the same time. And it is very important for me to find times to bring myself down.
Yes.
Because that is when my intuition kicks in.
Yeah.
So I have to be very mindful of keeping myself grounded so that I have the opportunity to listen to my intuition. And I think this is, again, something that comes with experience.
Yes.
Because I'm very quick to make decisions. But when I'm not tapped into my intuition, sometimes it's not the right decision.
So, Jack, I need to know, how do you do that? What are the practices or the tools? Like, how do you take time to ground yourself?
Yeah. So it's tough. And again, my husband's really good at knowing this because he's a very even person. So when I'm spun up a little bit too much, he's like, whoa there.
Yes.
Take it down a notch, because you're getting like I have a son and a husband, and he's like, you're getting the boys in the house like a little off kilter here. So bring it down. I love yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Yoga has helped me tremendously. And just, it can be as simple as like taking deep breaths before I have to do something and I need to like be present and be focused. I just take some deep breaths, and it's amazing how grounding that can be. Getting outside, you know, it's called staying grounded because you actually should be like touching the ground. So like walking on grass,
yes,
touching flowers, right? Like being in nature. And I live in New York City. So not that we have an abundance of nature, but we have really amazing parks.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting my dog out and walking in the park and getting some fresh air and, you know, just kind of not letting my mind think too much really helps. And when I do that, I think my intuition really guides me in the right way. Match intuition with data. So I love metrics and numbers and that, you know, system, like that's my thing. And so I think when it comes to business, that stuff tells a story. And then you have to sort of match the hard data with like, well, what does this mean? How do I interpret this? And that's where the intuition comes into play. Yeah. And then in my personal life, I just it's that gut feeling that like you feel it. And I feel like sometimes we go against what our gut and our intuition is telling us to do because we want to be polite or we don't want to hurt someone's feelings or we feel an obligation. And I'm really trying to fight against that. Like if my gut is telling me something, I know, yes, the PTA needs this help, but I know I'm overloaded already.
Yeah.
And I just have to say no. Thanks. So I don't burn out. It can be big things or small things.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you. Okay, so I wanted to ask you if you could share one piece of advice beyond what you already shared to women who were like, leaning in right now, who are like, yes, Jack, I hear you. Know that I haven't learned the skill of selling yet. I know that it's holding me back. What piece of advice would you give them?
Yeah. I would say start small,
mm-hmm,
and give yourself grace.
Mm-hmm.
So start small, meaning think about the sales activities that you can do in your business. So what is a sales activity? It's sending emails to people, connecting with people on LinkedIn, following up, putting out a piece of content that talks about your offer or your service, not just like, you know, you sipping some coffee, but like get specific about your offer. There's a whole host, go to a networking event. There's a whole host of sales activities that you can do. Take a few minutes and write down all of the ones you can think of. Set a timer, 3 to 5 minutes, write them all down.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that list and circle 5 that you feel comfortable doing.
Mm.
And then commit to doing those over and over again. Even if it doesn't feel good, even if you don't feel like you're doing it the best anyone has ever done a follow-up email or the best that anybody has ever connected on LinkedIn, commit to doing it and then give yourself grace to look at what you did, evaluate it objectively, and say, okay, how am I going to do this better the next time?
Mm.
How would I feel getting this email? Would I respond? Would I not respond? What would I respond to? And then how am I going to incorporate that next time? Remember that the sales as a skill is something that you're going to develop. Think of what you do. It took you a long time to get good at that.
Mm.
Okay? Selling is the same way. You don't just get it right off the bat.
Yes.
And so start. Pick things that you can commit to and then work at getting better at those things over time and give yourself grace.
Such great advice. I mean, I hope everyone is writing that down because I just think about where I am on my journey and I wish somebody had said that to me earlier, you know? So thank you so much for that, Jack. We want to hear what is coming up next for you.
Yes.
How can people learn about you and your work? How can they, get some more Jack magic?
Yeah, I would love to sprinkle some Jack magic on everyone if that is a thing. So I just launched a community for women entrepreneurs who want to learn how to sell and build sales systems in their business. It's called the Honeybee Sales Circle. It's a year-long membership. I bring people on in small cohorts because we work really hands-on with a small group of women to teach them to sell and to build sales systems in their business. And it's a membership, not a program, because I think this is something that you have to learn over time and iterate on and build this as a muscle. I have a podcast also called Girls Make Bank, mm-hmm, where I talk all about sales strategies and tactics and a lot of the stuff that we talked about today. And I hang out a lot on LinkedIn. So come find me there and connect and let me know that you got to me from here. And I would love to say hi.
Amazing. And I'll make sure all those links are in the show notes. So
great.
You can just click and connect with Jack and learn more. Okay. So I wanted to ask you a question that I ask all the guests on the podcast, which is, what do you think it means to be all you are?
I think to be all you are is to feel fulfilled in your life. Mm-hmm. I think there's this unrealistic expectation that everything has to be aligned all of the time, and that if life is hard or something is hard, then you're not doing it right. I think that the goal should be fulfillment in life, fulfillment in our relationships, fulfillment in our work, fulfillment in ourselves. Some days are going to feel really easy. Some days are going to feel really hard. It doesn't mean we don't have areas to improve. But for me right now, I'm trying to work towards fulfillment in what I do. And I think that is being all I am.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that answer. And I think like that's the new gauge, right? Like that's the new gauge of success is fulfillment. And that's unique to every person. And so it is sort of this journey of, hey, I've done all the things I was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. I took all those steps, and now it's my time to think about, what do I want? And, you know, part of that fulfillment, just to loop back to what you said in the podcast, is that part of, sweetheart, I'm almost done, like 3 minutes.
Oh God, it's a March break. I know, it's hard. It's hard.
Luckily, I can just edit. It's all
yeah, yeah.
So to loop back to what you were saying earlier in the podcast is that part of that journey to fulfillment requires more learning. Right? It's not like mm-hmm. we hit this point. And yeah. I think that for a lot of us, there's this sense that, well, I'm the expert now and I've reached this level. And it's so difficult for us to say, well, I don't want to feel new at something. I work mm-hmm. so hard to be the expert and now I don't want to feel new. But I think it's just like being open and honest that like part of that journey to continued fulfillment requires us to be willing to be uncomfortable, right?
Yes.
To be willing to be a newbie again in certain areas of our lives.
Absolutely. And that's fun. I mean, I feel like learning is fun. When you have a certain level of confidence, you can say, I'm not the expert and yes. I want to learn.
Yes.
And that's a part of, I think, what's really fun about this stage of life.
Yeah.
Is I'm confident saying I'm not the expert in these areas, or I am an expert and I can still learn more.
Yes. Jack, you know what? I normally end the podcast with that question, but I just have another question for
yes.
you.
Yes. Bring it on.
Yeah. So how has it been though for you shifting from like knowing how to sell, understanding systems, understanding like, you know, how to create like the right solutions, how to build relationships, network, all of those things. But now you're doing it in a different way, right? Because you're doing it for your own business and it's not even your business as in necessarily like you're a consultant, selling a service as a consultant. This is different, right? It's like you brought up the visibility piece and needing to be visible. How has that journey been for you stepping into that new role?
I mean, it's been what we talked about of like learning something new. And I think had we talked 2 years ago, I wasn't really in a phase of learning new things. Mm. I was much more in a phase of giving the knowledge away.
Yeah.
And now that I am making this pivot, my brain is like working because I have to reconfigure something and change and learn and do things in a new way. And it's actually really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Because learning new things can be fun if you let it be. And for this first cohort of the sales circle, I'm soliciting a lot of feedback from them on like what's working. I'm really digging in with them
mm-hmm.
to make sure that, you know, it's all falling in line in their business. It's also super intimidating. My word for this year is uncomfortable because just like for a lot of people, selling is uncomfortable, doing this is uncomfortable for me. But on the other side of uncomfortable is the growth.
Yes.
And that's what I'm wanting to get to. And that's what I'm like moving through now.
Yeah.
And so I feel like when I talk to women about doing uncomfortable things, I can do it with credibility because I am also doing uncomfortable things.
Yes. Yeah.
And I can say, yeah, I know this is hard. I know it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, you're in it with
them. I'm in it too.
Yes. And it's like there's someone that I follow who always says, it's not like you're telling them what to do or how to, you're saying, come with me. Let's do this together.
Let's do it together. Yeah, that's exactly, I love that. And so that, you know, it's scary, it's vulnerable, it's intimidating, it's exciting, I'm building, it's all of the things. And it's, you know, the range of emotions. And I think that's a part of why I'm loving it right now.
Beautiful. Well, thank you, Jack, for your time today and for also just being such an inspiration and helping us to see how exciting it can be to pivot or to try new things and to get uncomfortable and that you're really inviting us all to see it in that light. And I think that's a beautiful thing. So thank you.
Thank you for having me on. I always love talking to you. So I appreciate letting me come on and talk with your listeners.
Absolutely. We'll do it again for sure.
Yes.
Thank you for tuning in to today's show. I hope you found inspiration and use this podcast to start stepping into all you are. You can find information that was shared in today's show just below in the show notes. If you love this conversation, please share it with others so they can benefit from it too. You can take a screenshot of this episode and tag me on Instagram or share a link via text or email to a friend. Let's be clear. We need more women stepping into all they are. So go ahead and share away. And of course, subscribe to the podcast so that you receive the latest episodes every week and take a quick moment to rate it and leave a review. Thank you so much. Until next time, remember to keep exploring what it means to be all you are.